12. I'm not going to ask you to stand, as we've already stood for the reading of God's Word this morning during our morning reading. But we're going to begin in John chapter 12 today, and I'm going to reread our scriptures this morning for us. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we're going to hear what the Lord has for us this morning. John chapter 12, we're going to begin again in verse 34. The Bible says, "The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' And then Jesus said unto them, 'Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light.' These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." Father in heaven, we come to you this morning again. We ask of you, Lord, to have your will and your way. Lord, I pray that we can put aside any distractions or any schedules or anything that we may have been working on in our minds, Lord, up until this moment. Pray that we'd be able to focus, Lord, for this brief time on the teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, I just pray today that you would make a difference in the lives of people, Father. Not only here in our village, but Father, throughout the world, we pray today that you would make a difference in the lives of those that would hear the word of God. Those that, Lord, may be pondering on a decision in their life. Those, Father, who may be on the brink of that crossroads. Father, we love you, and we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for the guiding and graceful hand that you have allowed in our life. We simply ask of you this morning to dwell with us for this brief time together. In Jesus' name, we do ask all of these things. Amen and amen. The Bible tells us, "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." We find in these scriptures a contrast between the light and the darkness. I thought it was wonderful as we were sat here just a moment ago as the tithe and offering song was playing and the clouds peeled back and the sunlight came through here and it just illuminated the room in a great way. Now here's the thing, guys. We know that this time of year, sunshine is a rare commodity that we have, but we sure enjoy it. I understand that when the cloud cover is lifted, the temperature typically is about 5 to 8 degrees colder. And I don't know about you, but I'll take a little bit of coldness and a whole lot of sunshine today. Guys, I want us to understand this morning that when we look at this life, when you look at life through just the eyes of simplicity, without trying to look at it, look too complex, without trying to understand something that's really maybe not even there, all there is in the world that we have today is light and dark. I mean, there really isn't much else in reality. There really isn't a gray area. There really isn't a middle road or a straddling of the fence. There is daylight, and then there is dark. We know that in the physical world. We know that there is light, and there is dark in the emotional world. There is light, and there is dark even in, especially, the spiritual world. So I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the light and the lost. The light and the lost. We read in verse 36, it says, "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." So the first thing I want us to look at this morning, the very first thing in John chapter 12, I want us to look at the light this morning in John chapter 12. We're going to look at the light. If you look there in verse 35, in the very first part, this is what the Lord said in verse 35. He says, "Walk ye in the light." Beloved, we need to understand that in our world today, Jesus not only is commanding this 2,000 years ago that's been recorded and preserved and purified and perfected. We know that it was perfect when it went in. It's been preserved in its perfection from the very beginning. He says, "Walk ye in the light." All of us would have to agree this morning that it is easier to walk in the daylight than it is the dark. I know that even through familiarity of your own home, if you're to get up in the middle of the night and maybe you don't want to wake anyone up, and you're walking and you're trying to walk through the house and it's real dark, and you know you know where you are, but there's always that anticipation, if you will, that you're going to stub that little pinky toe on a chair leg or a sofa leg or something. I don't know about you, but that's one of the worst feelings in the world, when you stub that little bitty toe on a chair leg. Oh boy, does it hurt. We would all agree that it's easier to walk in the light, if you will. So, beloved, I want you to understand first this morning, the light that the Lord is speaking of here this morning, this light is the way. John 14:6 tells us, 14:6, verses 5 and 6, he says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way, he says. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, beloved, may I submit this thought to you this morning. I'd love you to think on this for quite a long time as we continue to preach and build upon this point of the light this morning. That there is only one way, my friend. There's only one way to the Father. When Jesus Christ said these words here, he didn't say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, or but by someone else, or but by this method. He didn't say that you could work your way to the Father. He didn't say you could have your way baptized unto the Father. He didn't say that you could join in church membership unto the Father. He didn't say that you could pay your way unto the Father. He said there's only one way, amen. And that way is through that light that Jesus Christ is speaking of. Can I tell you that the light, number one, is the way this morning. Number two, we find that the light is weighty. It's weighty, meaning this, guys, it's got a substance behind it. It's got a substance. Look in verse 36 there in our text this morning. Verse 36, the Bible says, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. There's a sustenance to that light. There's a surety. There's a certainty. There's a security. There's a substance that you can grab a hold of in that light. We know that just in our basic sunlight today, that we get vitamin D from it, which is substantial to our growth, our emotions, our mental, our height, if you will. Much of our of the vitamins that we need to take in through food is only processed through vitamin D. So, you know, when you don't have sunlight, you have a malnutrition, if you will, from actually processing the other nutrients that is in your food. Think about that, if you will, this morning. We can take all the pills and all the vitamins and all of this that we can. Unless there's a bit of a vitamin D mixed in there, your body's not even going to absorb those vitamins that you need, those nutrients that you need to grow and to sustain. We find here that light, now we're speaking on the spiritual terms, it's weighty. It is sustenance. It's security. It's certainty to our life. It's something that breeds inside of us and gives us life, if you will. So we find that the light is the way. The light is weighty. And beloved, we understand that the light is the Word. John 1 verses 1 through 5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. My friend, we need to understand today that the Word of God is something that is so precious. Amos speaks about a great famine. He prophesied of a great famine that was going to be in the land. But he said it was not going to be a famine of food and water. It wasn't going to be a famine even of finances, but it was going to be a famine of hearing the Word of God. As I researched for this sermon and began to look some statistics that you're going to see here in just a moment, or you're going to hear in just a moment, I began to read some of the spiritual leaders in our times' opinion and what how they voiced in on eternal salvation, and how they tried to compare the people's opinion today of eternal security and the life hereafter and all of these different things. And I got to be honest with you, I just put my head down at our dining room table, and I just kind of shook my head, because my friend, we are in the midst of a famine of hearing the Word of God in our life today. We are in a famine today of hearing the truth, the simple truth of the Bible. Can I tell you this? There is no church building nor organization that is going to get you into heaven. It is what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, and that is it. Out of 7+ billion people on earth, Roughly, it's estimated that 3.2 billion people, which is about 40% of the population, have no opportunity to hear the gospel where they live in their own location. 40 billion people, or 40%, 3.2 billion people will never get a chance to hear the precious gospel that you hear week in and week out. In a recent study, we find that over 50% of the people that were asked, what is the Great Commission? They had no idea of what that means. The average church today spends less than 1% of its budget on missions in the world and its locality. I believe it's believed that 67% of the world's population born after AD 30 have never heard the name of Jesus. Beloved, 30 million people will perish this year alone, having never had the opportunity to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, these are the ones who've never had the opportunity to hear. Never had even the chance to hear the gospel simply because of where they live. Now, my friend, before you start thinking about little Johnny in the bush down in the Horn of Africa or the little Julie sitting down in Papua New Guinea in a lost tribe, beloved, we live in a community, we live in a county, we live in a world, we live in a country today, we live in a sector of Western civilization, my friend, that are not teaching and preaching the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't just signify it all the way to that particular person that may be in some lost tribe, but I'm telling you, in a modern civilization this morning, Jesus Christ is not being preached. He's not being taught in our world today as a whole. A BBC survey states that 1/4 of people who describe themselves as Christians in Great Britain do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I'm going to say that again, because that right there, when I read that, BBC performed a survey, and they said 1/4 of the people who call themselves Christians in our country does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My friend, not only are you not a Christian if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are not saved if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no if, ands, and buts. There is no candy and nuts. There is no Christmas time with that idea. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, my friend, you are not saved, much less a Christian. How do I know this? Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and, that's a conjunction. I remember when I grew up, we had this thing called Schoolhouse Rock that came on. It was about 90 seconds, 2 minutes. You've heard me tell the story before. And they would teach children little things. They would teach you about vocabulary and grammar. They teach you about how a bill becomes a law and how it sat on Capitol Hill. And it was all these nice little songs. They teach you about brushing your teeth. They had this one called the Yuck Mouth. And it was just, these things stick with you as a child and you learn them. And the little song. And there used to be this one bit on Schoolhouse Rock that would come on in between the Saturday morning cartoons, called conjunction function, or what's your function? All right, conjunction junction, what's your function? And it would teach you what conjunctions were and how they operated. And it illustrated it with a cartoon train and how a train would come into a station and it would back up and it would connect to another car. And that car would be and or but or these conjunctions in English grammar. My friend, when we read Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, we are reading a conjunction. We are reading an inclusion. We are reading an equation that both must be present. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ without believing that Jesus Christ is Lord or that He is God. You cannot believe that Jesus Christ is God and not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself and be saved and born again. Beloved, if they do not believe in the light today, then they are lost. That's the contrast that we find in John chapter 12. The light and the darkness. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 35. And look at the latter part of verse 35. And stay with me here on this point. Watch what he says. He talks about yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Now look at the next part of verse 35. Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness, watch this, knoweth not whither he goeth. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You know, the survey that I spoke about just a moment ago goes on to say that almost 1 in 10 people of no religious status say they believe the Easter story, but they say it has some content that should not be taken literally. You know, the Easter story, the resurrection story. 1/10 of the people who have no religious connection said they do believe in the Easter story, but you know, some of the content can't be taken literally. 1/5 of non-religious people in our country, in Great Britain, believe in life after death. The Church of England said that it showed many people held religious beliefs. They go on to say that out of 2,010 British adults that were surveyed by phone, they say that 17% of all people believe the Bible version word for word. 31% of Christians believe word for word the Bible, rising from 57% among active Christians, and that's those who go to at least one service a month. Exactly 1/2 of all people surveyed did not believe in the resurrection at all. That's over 1,000 people. 46% of people say they believe in some form of life after death, and 46% believe they do not believe. 20% of non-religious people say they believe in some form of life after death. This is true, but 9% of non-religious people believe in the resurrection. 9% of non-religious people believe in the resurrection, with 1% whom say they believe it literally. 1% say they believe in the resurrection literally. You see, what does all those numbers mean? What do they represent? Is it a literal 1% of the people? Is it a literal 9%? Is it a literal 46%? I don't know if it's exactly 46% in our entire nation. I know that I've read and studied that 55% of all the population in the United Kingdom don't believe that there is a God. I don't know exactly if they surveyed every single one of the 63 plus million people in the United Kingdom. I don't know that to be true. I just know they take pockets of people. But this is what I know. If only 1% of the people that were surveyed believe in the resurrection literally, guys, we have a problem in our world today. The light has come, and the light is here, and the light is in that book. But we have a multitude of people that are lost. You say, what do you mean by lost? I mean exactly what the scripture says. He says, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Beloved, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, he says, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And those verses that are posted behind me, verses 3 and 4 speak of those that are lost, those that are in the darkness. Verses 1, 2 and verses 5 speaks of the light that will deliver them from that lost state. My beloved, if you don't know where you're going this morning, if you don't know where you are today, if we were to make a simple equation or a simple questionnaire and ask you, do you know where you are going and do you know where you are? If that answer was no, what would be, the definition of what state you're in? Lost. It's no different than driving from point A to point B and hitting every other letter of the alphabet trying to get there. If you don't know where you're going, guys, you're lost. If you go out into the woods somewhere and you go out into the forest and you walk around and you get turned around, as it's very easy to do, you may know what country you're on. Matter of fact, you may even know what planet you're on. But if you don't know how to get to where you're trying to go, guess what, guys? That's the definition of lost. It's not being mean. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not trying to do anything other than to present to you a current state of mankind today that if they don't know where they are going, that is the definition of lost. That is the evidence that we find in the scriptures, that he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. John chapter 11 and verses 9 and 10 tells us this. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. When a person is stranded, my friend, they are lost. When a person doesn't know where they're going, at the end of a day, my friend, a soul must be in that light if they don't want to remain in a lost state. I'm not looking for you to raise your hand. I'm not looking for you to answer this question, but just only answer it in your heart. How many of us have ever gotten into a car and we're trying to get somewhere and we just got turned around and we don't know where we're going after that? Listen, I've done it plenty of times. Praise the Lord for sat navs. But man, sometimes when those things quit working, oh, I don't know where I'm going. I was trying to go pick a group up for our Iron Sharpens Iron meeting back in July, and my sat nav, my phone decided to just go wonky, and I'm telling you, it had me marked on one street, and I knew I wasn't on that street. It had a street turning to the right, and there was nothing but a house turning to the right. And I was trying to get to one, and I was only a mile away from where they were. But you know what? I didn't know how to get there. It did not matter how close I currently was. At the end of the day, if I did not know how to get from where I was to that next destination, guys, you know what I was? I was lost. And that's where we are today in our world. Salvation is not complex, guys. The glorious light that the Lord has given us in this world today, it's not something to be afraid of. Men will rather not hear the light or not want to take heed of the light, because the light begins to expose our frailties and our failures. But that's okay. When the light reveals and how frail and how fragile we are, it also shows how strong and compassionate and loving our Lord Jesus Christ is. So, beloved, can I say this to you in the last point tonight, or this morning, and I'm done. A soul must believe in the light if they do not want to remain in a lost state. And if this world is going to get the opportunity, if this world is going to receive a chance, if this world is going to have a moment to hear about that light, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that we as believers must take that light. It must be lifted. We must lift that light up into the world today. The Lord said in our text verse there in John chapter 12, going back to verse 31 through 33, he said, now is judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He goes on to say, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this, he says, signifying what death he should die. Now, our opening text today began in verse 34, and that answers your question in your heart of what the people were talking about when they said, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. They've read in the law there that Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer, shall live for eternity. And then they're asking Jesus, you're saying the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, meaning he's going to be crucified, that he's going to be killed. And this was the truth, both in and of the same. The Jews of this day and Christ, when he was on the time that Christ walked this earth, and many, many, many years before that, could not reconcile the Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. They couldn't reconcile that Messiah with the one of Isaiah 53 who would suffer and in whose stripes we would be healed. They couldn't reconcile that together. They couldn't understand it. And rightly so. Jesus said he's got to be lifted up. And just as he would be lifted up on the cross of Calvary to become sin for us, to pay our price, we got to lift up the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world today. My friend, again, when a person is stranded, when a person is lost, when they're out in the sea of darkness without the ability to find their way home, it's the light that's going to guide them home safely. And that light must be lifted up. Guys, we live in a world today that is filled with distractions, from social media to news to politics to this election and that election and this inquiry and all this accusation and all of this stuff that's going on. And do you know what that is? It's nothing but noise. That light must be lifted up above the noise, above the blackness of our environment, above the clamor of a distraction, even above the pain of circumstances and the fear of situations. I understand it's a fearful thing to make that decision, to make that decision to accept that light, to make that decision to not remain lost. It's a fearful thing to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, the gift that he gave on the cross of Calvary. But this light that we speak of is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came offering himself for the sins of the world. The price has been paid. The lost just needs to look at the lifted gift and live. Beloved, we're living in a world that's seemingly gone mad at times. Everyone is offended by everyone else, and yet there's the truth that only remains. The only truth this morning is the truth in what Jesus Christ says: while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. The choice is ours today. The choice is yours, because this is the only thing that will save the lost in our world, that lifted up light of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I can leave you with any thought this morning, there's one choice in this world. You say, I thought there was two. There's one. You just believe or don't believe. You can choose between the two, but the decision not to make a decision is to make one of no. So today, while the light is here, while the light is being offered, the Bible tells us to draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto thee. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together today. I do pray and ask you, Lord, to please make a difference in our life. Father, I pray as we look at the contrast in John chapter 12 between the light and the lost, that you would please speak to everyone's heart that would hear this message. Not only those that have heard it here today in the church, Father, but those, dear Lord, that would hear it in the upcoming days, weeks, months, and even years. Pray that you would speak to their heart, Father, to make that decision to come off of that road that is weary, that darkened road of uncertainty. It would answer that question with surety, that they'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they may know where they are going. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Hope and pray.